It's lovely to be with you all, and always a great opportunity. I'm very thankful for these opportunities to come here and share God's word with you. So let's start with just a short prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth in it, and Lord, we would be very presumptuous if we thought we could understand and teach it on our own without you. So we ask, Lord, that your Spirit will help us, that you would give me clarity in preaching it, and that you will give us all ears to hear and to grasp your great love for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let me ask a quick question. When last did you experience trouble? Was it 5 minutes ago? Was it a day ago? Maybe 2 days ago? I think it doesn't matter who you are. We're all very familiar with trouble. We have trouble all the day. We experience trouble at school, at work, our health, finances, relationships can be troublesome, unexpected calamities, and really I can just go on and on and on. And trouble is near, it's always near, and it's not going to go away. It's not going to go away anytime soon, I don't think, unless the Lord Jesus comes tonight. And the author of Psalm 23, David, he knew trouble. He knew it very, very well. And I'll just give you a little summary of the things he had trouble with. Fighting Goliath, the Philistines, that's what we know David for. But maybe here's some things you aren't so familiar with if you go read 1 and 2 Samuel. King Saul, his jealousy of David. David's own sinfulness, his adultery with Bathsheba, which led to him committing murder, causing someone else to murder. The trauma of having his son die soon after Bathsheba gave birth. The trauma of having his oldest son, Amnon, rape his half-sister, Tamar. The trauma of having his other son, Absalom, killing Amnon because of what he did to Tamar. The same son, Absalom, also tried to kill his father, David, to take his kingdom. And then Absalom gets killed in battle. And David has to grieve a son whom he still really loved very much. He knew trouble. He was not exempt from it. He knew trouble. And yet he wrote this beautiful psalm that we find in Psalm 23, where he expresses absolute satisfaction in his God. He expresses a complete sense of safety, as we'll see just now, and a certain hope in the Lord, who he calls his shepherd. And so if you want to follow along in your Bibles, it might be a good thing. We're going to just whip through it quickly. And the first point I'd like to make here from Psalm 23 is that David finds satisfaction in his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, says David. He doesn't say, I have no trouble. But he does say, he lacks nothing. David experiences the rare jewel, and it's really rare, friends, of contentment or being satisfied. And this satisfaction is rooted in the Lord his God. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And here's the thing, if you guys have any farming background, I don't, I had to look things up, but sheep apparently don't lie down to rest unless they are satisfied. They won't lie down if they're unhappy, if they're afraid, if they're not at peace, if they're experiencing some sort of tension or ailment or irritation or hunger, they're not going to lie down. They only lie down when they're happy. And also, much of ancient Israel's terrain consisted of desert terrain. So a sheep in desert terrain is not going to find green pastures by himself. He needs the shepherd to take him there to find it so that he can get satisfied and have a good feed. He leads me beside quiet waters. Again, ancient Israel, if you read the Old Testament, often you, like the Jordan River, when the Israelites crossed the Jordan to go into, they were afraid. Because why? Because the river is rough. It is wild. It's not something that you just step your foot into and cross. So for a meek little sheep to go and drink from rushing water, it could topple him over, lose your balance, fall into the water, drown. So they need a shepherd to take them to still waters where they can drink at peace. They need the shepherd to chase the wild animals away from those waters so that it's not a life and death situation just to drink water. So basically, without their shepherd working hard for them, making good decisions for them, guiding and leading them, the sheep will face all sorts of dangers and die. But with their shepherd, with his guidance and his care, sheep can navigate all sorts of troubles and dangers and live and be satisfied. And then he refreshes my soul. And this is an odd thing for David to say, you know, about a sheep, if he uses that imagery. But in the Bible, in the biblical language, the word soul is tightly bound up with one's conscious life. It is not merely like your spirit, like often we think soul, spirit, but in the Old Testament especially, when it refers to soul, it refers to the person's life, your life. So you could say he restores my life, not merely a reference to your spirit. And some biblical scholars, they suggest that if David maybe in this situation, David had cast sheep in mind. So what a cast sheep is a sheep who's gone belly up for some reason. They do it for all different kinds of reasons, but they do it funny enough, like a tortoise falling on their shell and lying there. And it's quite a silly thing for sheep to go through, but it can kill them because stomach gases can build up and they can die. They can die in a matter of hours. So maybe David is thinking about this, where a shepherd, this is one of the reasons, by the way, why shepherds count their sheep, because they need to make sure they're all there, because one of them might be lying on his back out there and he's sure to die because he can't even get himself back up. So you need the shepherd to go and put him back, and it restores, refreshes that sheep's life, restores his life. Silly condition, but a serious one. So when a shepherd finds the sheep, he restores his life by gently turning his the right way up. So it's quite a beautiful imagery when you look at it from a human perspective. By God restoring David's soul, refreshing his soul, he is restoring his life, turning it upright, right way up. And David sees his satisfaction is in God, his shepherd, who provides for him, who gives him rest and refreshes his life. So ask yourself tonight here while you're sitting here, are you satisfied in the Lord Jesus? I mean, he's the same God as David's God. Isn't it? The same God, just revealed to us in person. Can you say that Jesus is your shepherd and because of that, you lack nothing? I think that as we battle with sin and self, as we are frustrated by the evil and many frustrations in the world, This is very likely the hardest thing to do, to be satisfied. To simply be satisfied in the Lord Jesus. Because if we are satisfied in Him, then we can get through the disappointments of life without being paralyzed by them, without our tendencies to sin knock us down and keep us down. We can get up and say, Lord, You are a gracious God. You love me. I can carry on fighting the good fight of faith in our Lord Jesus. We can cope with being misunderstood or being rejected or badly treated because Jesus loves us, understands us, and He's there for us. We can put up with having cold showers because Eskom, the lights are out and there was no time to warm the geyser up. As Paul writes in Timothy, or to Timothy, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. You can't have this kind of contentment or satisfaction, friends, unless it is rooted in the One who is the source of all satisfaction, Jesus Christ. You can't have it. You're going to look for it in so many places. You're not going to find it. So, then let's look at how David finds protection in his shepherd. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. A shepherd who guides his sheep on dangerous paths would not be a good shepherd, would he? I mean, there's no, you don't take your vulnerable little sheep into a lion's nest. Yeah, you don't do stuff like that. The life of a sheep in ancient Palestine was perilous enough without them being led on wrong paths. In the same way, our lives are perilous enough without us going down wrong paths. Therefore, as a good shepherd leads his sheep along right paths for the sake of his sheep, but primarily for the sake of his own reputation, because he is a good shepherd, so God leads those who belong to Him along right paths because He is a good God. And He has our best interest at heart. And when we have to walk through those dangerous paths, and we're all going to go through dangerous paths at some point, we just said, we're all going through trouble. David says, yeah, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. In biblical literature, valleys are often places of hostility and vulnerability. David, in his day, they would build cities on top of mountains because they weren't very advanced civilization, and their enemies had chariots and all sorts of artillery, sort of, where these guys, they just fought hand-to-hand, man-to-man combat. So they would rather build their city, defend it on a hill, and down in a valley. From a sheep's perspective, the valleys were often where they had to get food and water, but also where the wild animals were prowling around, and they, they would be exposed, open and exposed. And if they don't have their shepherd with them, especially if it's dark, well, before long they'll be dead ducks. They'll be gone. You see, friends, we all go through dark valleys in life. We got to know, when we go through these things, we got to know that the shepherd is with us during those times. When you lose loved ones, Jesus is with you. When you're feeling at your wit's end or experiencing deep, dark depression, you think God is further than ever. It's not true. He's with you if you are His child. When you're sick and your body is tired, when you've been hurt, betrayed, rejected, the Lord Jesus is walking that road with you. And yes, even when you have sinned and feel so guilty that you can't ask for forgiveness because you think God is holding you at arm's length, He's with you. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, says. Your shepherd is with you. And one day, we will all go through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, as some translations put it. And there is only one who is able to keep you safe through that valley. And the Bible calls him Jesus. The Good Shepherd of John chapter 10, if you go read, maybe tonight, go read John 10. It's a fantastic passage. Jesus says, he knows his sheep by name. He's the Good Shepherd. And the sheep knows him. And he says, the Good Shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. Jesus didn't go through the shadow of death. He went through death. He walked the valley alone when he went to that cross, rejected by his Father to pay for all the times that we rejected him, so that we can be forgiven for our sins and be right with God. This Jesus walked through that valley of death on our behalf, and then he dismantled its powers by walking out alive. Will you let this Jesus be your shepherd and keep you safe through that valley when you face it one day, friends? Are you going to walk with him, or are you going to walk on your own? And then David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A rod is a short and heavy, like a club-like thing that you can whack something or someone with. A staff is more a longer, like a walking stick with it's got a nice hook. It's more used to control the sheep than to defend. And this is the thing, God cannot lead you in right paths for his name's sake unless he protects you on the one hand and disciplines you on the other hand. Think about children. Yeah. If you don't actively put safe boundaries in place, yeah, they're going to grow up wild. You're making it more easy for them to go down those wrong paths. We watch Netflix. We've got Netflix. And Maxie, my oldest little boy, he watches Netflix. He loves it. And my wife and I, we really got to, sometimes, most of the programs now, we sit with him, make sure it's okay, and then we got his programs chosen for him, pre-chosen, you know? Because if we let that thing just run, he's going to watch all sorts of funny things, things that we don't want him to watch, things that wouldn't be good for him, especially at his little age. So I limit what he watches, because it can harm him if I don't. And in a similar way, shepherds used their rods to ward off preying predators who want to harm the sheep. And in a much bigger way, friends, God actively works 24/7 to protect his children, keep them safe from harm and evil. He does that all the time. And then on the other hand, the shepherd uses his staff to keep the sheep on the right path when they go down the wrong path. It's a means to discipline the sheep. The sheep runs off, the shepherd goes after it, he hooks it around the neck, which I could imagine is probably not a pleasant experience for the sheep or the shepherd, but it's got to be done. Otherwise, they're going to go down the wrong path. If the shepherd is going to lead the sheep along the right path, he's going to have to discipline. And I'm really no expert at this, but I know if I withhold discipline from my little boys, I won't do a good job of teaching them what is right. And I would make it easy for them to go down the wrong paths. I don't want to do that. How much more our God, our Father in heaven, how much more does he not want us to go down the right paths? And scripture in Hebrews tells us that God disciplines those he loves. Why? So that he can protect them from going astray. He doesn't punish those he loves, because punishment is done in anger. And his anger and punishment is reserved for those who reject him, not those who love him. But his loving protection and discipline are reserved for those who cherishes, whom he cherishes as his children. Perhaps not nice at the time, but necessary to keep us on the right track. And David goes on to say, you prepare a table before me, likely he's referring to how shepherds prepare pastures for sheep to graze in, pulling out dangerous weeds and plants that could kill the sheep if they eat them. I'm no expert, but I believe there's certain weeds that if a sheep eats it, he can die. It's as simple as that. And he says, in the presence of my enemies, wild animals, ancient Palestine, wild animals, lions, bears, buzzards, eagles, all a threat to these sheep. But with the shepherd present, none will harm those sheep. You anoint my head with oil. I read up on these things. The sheep are subject to all kinds of bugs and lice and flies. Like our pets, I guess. But perhaps more so. In the ancient world, shepherds would use olive oil mixed with sulfur and spices to act as a deterrent when they rub it on the sheep's head, especially the nose, because the nose flies want to come in there and lay their eggs, and that could cause all sorts of infection and pain for the sheep. And now, on a human level, David is very likely referring to how the Lord protects him from spiritual dangers and the things that seek to harm our relationship with the Lord. I take it many of you here are Christians, have been Christians for a long time. Who chips away at those sinful tendencies day in and day out? Who does that? Who restrains us? What is it that makes sin more and more unattractive to you as you walk with Jesus? Who has anointed us with the Holy Spirit, sealed us for the day of Christ Jesus? Who will make sure that you will never fall away, come what may, because you have trusted in the Lord Jesus? It is Jesus himself. It's not me. It's him. It's the Good Shepherd. He protects you now, and he will protect you to the end. If God is for us, says Paul, who can be against us? And so David finds satisfaction in his shepherd. He finds protection in his shepherd. And lastly, friends, just quickly, he finds hope in his shepherd. He says, my cup overflows. I mean, what more can David ask for? The Lord is for him, not against him. What more can you need than this? What more? The God who created and owns the entire universe has set his love and affection on you. What more can you ask for? David understood God's love and mercy, but how much more should we on this side of the cross? David lived about 1,000 years before Jesus, 2,000 years after. Now, the God who loved us so much that he died the death we deserve. The Father enduring, punishing his Son for our sins. And the perfect, sinless Son enduring rejection from his beloved Father. Romans 8 says, he who did not spare his Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with Jesus, give us all things? And David says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Excuse me. Dear friends, if you want Christian assurance, if you want assurance, this is it. If God has set his love on you, if you have put your faith in Jesus, if you are a child of God, you can walk with courage in your heart, because God's goodness and love will pursue you all the days of your life. If Jesus is your shepherd, he will keep you. But the opposite is true for the unbeliever, for those who say no to God's mercy and grace. The opposite is true. And if that's you, the wrath of God, his anger for your sin, is still pursuing you, not his love, not his goodness. Because your sins has not yet been washed away by the blood of Jesus. And so David ends off by saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And David knows that his life, yeah, it's going to come to an end one time or another. There's two things we're sure of. We're born and we're going to die. Yeah. But his hope is not in this life. His hope is in the God who gives life. And I want to finish by telling you this little story. I really don't know if it's true, but it makes the point. And it's about, in the old days, people driving on this train, and they would go somewhere, and they would have a person read for them, like an eloquent, maybe an orator or somebody professional, take a passage or a chapter of a book or something, read for them. And just so happens that this guy is reading Psalm 23 in this train, in this coach. And he reads it and he pauses very well and he does a great job at reading it. And then when he's finished, everybody claps and it's a big hoorah and they're all impressed, you know. And then he says, look, is there somebody else that also wants to read? And so this little old lady, she puts her hand up and she says, oh, I'll give it a bash. And she reads the same passage. She reads Psalm 23. And yes, people quiet. Some tears in their eyes. And this orator is a bit shocked. He's like, he says to the old lady's husband sitting there, he says, I read this and everybody clapped and went wild. She read it. People go quiet. Some even crying. I don't understand it. And the husband, he says, son, you know Psalm 23. She knows the shepherd. Friends, there's a difference. There's a difference. We can know our Bibles back to front, inside out. We can know church doctrine. We can know what we believe. We can come to church often. We can do all these things. You still miss Jesus. Don't do that. The Bible is there to encourage our relationship with Jesus, to get us into a relationship with Jesus, to grow us in that relationship. Church is there for the same reason. We are not in this alone. We do this together. All the things we do as Christians serves to strengthen our relationship with our Lord Jesus. Press on to know the Lord Jesus, because without him, you'll have no satisfaction that lasts. It will be here today and gone tomorrow. You'll have no protection, and you sure as heck have no hope. May our Lord Jesus all help us, give us a renewed understanding as we seek to love him and to love his people. Father God, we just thank you for your word and for our Lord Jesus, and that he is our good shepherd who laid down his life for us. Help us to press on to know him, Lord, for your glory. Teach us, Lord. Lead us on right paths for your name's sake, so that you may be glorified, that others may come into this wonderful relationship with you and an everlasting hope. Lord, help us, use us. We know we hear to be used by you to help others come into your kingdom. Please do that, Lord. We thank you.